This is Healthline, a joint venture of WTIC News Talk 1080 and Yale Cancer Center. Yale Cancer Center is a resource for cancer programs throughout Connecticut, developing new advances in prevention, screening, diagnosis, and treatment. On Healthline, you'll hear from some of the leading doctors in the country. Healthline is not intended to provide medical advice. Yale Cancer Center urges you to consult with a qualified physician in your community for diagnosis and for answers to your medical questions. And now, our co-hosts, oncologists Ken Miller and Ed Chu.
Good morning and welcome to Healthline. My name is Dr. Ken Miller and I'm the director of the Survivorship Program at the Yale Cancer Center in New Haven. I'm here in the WTIC studios with my colleague and co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, who is the chief adult oncologist at the Yale Cancer Center. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ken. Healthline with the Yale Cancer Center is our way of providing you with most up-to-date information on cancer care every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. here on this station, WTIC News Talk 1080. Our Healthline program features some of the nation's leading oncologists and cancer specialists who are on the forefront of the battle to fight cancer right here in our state of Connecticut.
Each week, Ed and I are joined by some of the nation's leading experts, and many of them from here at the Yale Cancer Center. Together, we'll discuss the myths about cancer, the latest treatment available to people with cancer, and advances in clinical research. Our goal is to give you help by sharing some of the latest information, but also to give you hope as well. If you'd like to submit a question about cancer to Healthline, please email us at healthline@yale.edu, or you can call us, and I'd ask you to write down the number 1-888-234-4YCC. And we will try to answer your questions on the air today or in a future broadcast. If you are interested in listening to some of the past editions of Healthline, or if you'd like to learn more about a specific kind of cancer, all of our shows are posted now in audio and written format on the Yale Cancer Center website, which is www.yalecancercenter.org.
Today, our program focuses on new advances and trends in cancer research. And our special guest is Dr. Ira Melman, who is the Scientific Director of the Yale Cancer Center, the Sterling Professor and Chair of Cell Biology at the Yale School of Medicine, and one of this nation's leading cancer cell biologists and immunologists. Ira, thanks so much for being with us today on Healthline.
You bet.
Ira, I'd like to start out by asking you, what are the biggest changes that you've seen in biomedical research during your career?
Well, specifically as it relates to cancer, I think the changes are really rather extraordinary. For most of the past 50 years, cancer therapy and approaches to cancer therapy really haven't changed very much. They have involved the use of surgery combined with the use of a variety of poisons that basically attempt to kill cancer cells prior to killing the patient. And many of these agents were actually developed in the early days here at Yale, but what's really changed over the last 5 or 6 years is the development of a new series of cancer drugs, which I think generically one has to refer to as targeted cancer drugs or targeted cancer therapies.
And Ira, maybe let's expand on that. So what is the definition of targeted therapies?
Targeted therapy is, any therapy that attempts to address a weakness or a particular characteristic of a cancer or a cancer cell that is unique or at least amplified in cancer that's not present in normal cells or normal tissue.
Ira, can you give us an example of a type of cancer and a type of targeted therapy?
I think probably one of the most popular recent examples has to do with a certain type of leukemia, in which there was a mutation that was noted in a particular gene called ABL or ABL in this particular leukemia. And a drug was actually developed to target this particular mutation such that only those cells that are expressing the mutation, meaning the cancer cells, actually would be targeted by and therefore killed by the agent.
Now, has that had a discovery like that, for example, and I think you may be referring to Gleevec, which
Correct.
Has been a wonderful drug. Has that had spin-off in terms of treatment of other types of cancer?
Well, I think although this particular therapy is really good for only a relatively small number of people with leukemia and also certain forms of intestinal cancer, what it's done more than anything else, I think, is to provide us in the scientific end of cancer research with a terrific amount of enthusiasm that indeed this approach will work. There's absolutely no question that it will work. It may take still the development of many, many different agents to identify these types of frailties in cancer cells. But nevertheless, I think it validates and really provides a great deal of enthusiasm on the basis of all of the work that's been done over the last 2 or 3 decades in the field.
And Ira, these target therapies, as you say, really have developed because of our greater understanding of how cancer cells grow and proliferate, and what are the processes, pathways that are critical for their continued survival?
No, that's correct. And I think much of the work that our laboratory colleagues have been doing over the past two or three decades have been really directed to trying to understand what is a pathway in a cancer cell. And perhaps we should talk a little bit about what a pathway is. Cells are obviously biological creatures. They're not like computers or cell phones, which have inside of them wires and diodes and chips that specify electronically what it is those little machines are going to do. Cancer cells, in fact, all cells don't have wires, obviously, but they do have the equivalent of wires, which are basically chemical pathways that conduct all of the activities that any one cell needs to survive and conduct its business in the body. So it turns out that by studying what these pathways or what these chemical circuits are, basically, within cells, one can identify those pathways or those circuits in cancer cells that are even slightly different from what one finds in normal cells. And with enough study, you can see what these are and try and develop agents that, in fact, will target particularly those aberrant pathways.
One of the real strengths here at Yale, obviously, has been the really amazing basic science research, both at the Yale School of Medicine and the Yale Cancer Center. Maybe you could just expand on that a little bit for our listening audience, Ira.
Well, the work at Yale spans a great deal of activity in the general area of cancer research. I think starting with the development of small molecules that target these types of aberrant pathways that exist in cancer cells, we have a number of just absolutely world-class investigators who are here now and who have been here in the past, some of whom have, in fact, already been quite successful at developing agents that indeed do exactly the type of thing that an agent such as Gleevec does. And these are agents that are slowly now starting to come onto the market. They're being the subject of clinical trials both here and elsewhere around the world. And really, all of these advances stem almost entirely from a very deep commitment to basic research and targeting that commitment to understanding how human cancer actually works.
In fact, actually, one of our very close colleagues, Dr. Yossi Schlesinger, who's chair of pharmacology, recently had one of his drugs approved both for kidney cancer and as well a very rare form of GI cancer called GIST, or gastrointestinal stromal tumors. Ira, your thoughts on really, I think, what I think many of us feel is a landmark discovery.
No, that's really true. And Dr. Schlesinger is really a rather also unique individual in many ways. He came to us here at Yale fairly recently, within the last 5 years, from New York University Medical School. And prior to that, he was one of the founders of one of the leading biotechnology companies that really paved the way for developing these kinds of targeted agents. And one of the things that in the Cancer Center that we are really pursuing very avidly at the moment is to make use of the types of technologies that Dr. Schlesinger and his colleagues have developed to choose out those pathways and those particular molecules in cancer cells that our own research has identified and see whether or not we can begin the process of developing lead compounds and drugs that will target those.
Ira, you mentioned small molecule therapeutics. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because that's something that I think a lot of our listening audience hasn't heard of before.
Well, I think if you think in terms of what is meant by targeted therapy, you have a few different elements. One is small molecules. And what's meant by small molecules is a small chemical compound that can be taken either as a pill or in some cases taken by injection. That really is a non-natural, in many cases, chemical entity. Not always. Some natural products can be pressed into service if in fact, they turn out to be useful. But most of these are made by dozens and dozens of chemists who are buried in chemistry laboratories and then screened with great care for their ability to target a particular agent or particular pathway in a cancer cell.
Well, we'd like to remind you to please email your questions to us at healthline@yale.edu. Or you can call at 1-888-234-4YCC. We're going to take a short break for a medical minute, and please stay tuned to learn more information about the trends in cancer research with Dr. Ira Melman.
This is a Medical Minute brought to you as a public service by the Yale Cancer Center. Cancer patients become cancer survivors the first day they're diagnosed. There are over 10 million cancer survivors in the U.S., and the numbers keep growing. However, there are long-term side effects of cancer, including heart problems, osteoporosis, fertility issues, impaired growth, and an increased risk of second cancers. Ending cancer treatment can be both exciting and scary. Most people are relieved to be finished with the demands of treatment, but many also feel concerned about whether the cancer will come back and what they can do to prevent a relapse. Cancer survivors require long-term specialized care and support. For more information, log on to www.yalecancercenter.org. That address once again, www.yalecancercenter.org.
Welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm in the WTIC studios with my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and our guest, Dr. Ira Melman, who's the scientific director of the Yale Cancer Center. Ira, we've talked about a number of new therapies, and so I wanted to ask you more generally, what does the term biotherapeutics mean?
Well, biotherapeutics, in distinction from what we were discussing just a moment ago concerning small molecules, biotherapeutics are, in fact, all natural compounds or natural entities, whereas small molecules, as I said, are made by chemists in the laboratory. Biotherapeutics consist of molecules which are also often made in the laboratory, but are derived almost entirely from natural products that, in fact, the body makes to accomplish one function or another. So you can have hormones, for example. So a biotherapeutic insulin would be a typical biotherapeutic for a patient who has insulin. But in cancer, one finds that you can generate hormones that stimulate or repress the activity of cancer cells, or I think more commonly now, once he's used with increasing frequency, a type of biotherapeutic called monoclonal antibodies.
And so just following up on that, Ira, again, that's kind of a fancy term. And what are monoclonal antibodies?
Well, antibodies are proteins that the body makes in response to any type of infection. The purpose of the antibody is to identify the invading or foreign molecule, mark it for destruction, and thereby eliminate the infection. So it turns out that this system will work against any molecule that the body determines is foreign. So it's possible because there are some features of cancer cells that are different from normal cells, as we've been discussing, to use that approach to ask your body or ask the immune system to identify what those differences are, and the body will then make antibodies to them. You can do this experimentally, isolate those antibodies, and then grow up large quantities of them and use them as therapeutics by injecting them back into patients.
Now, can patients develop antibodies against these monoclonal antibody therapies?
Indeed, that's one limitation associated with them, but the construction of these antibodies is becoming so sophisticated that particular problem, which was a prevalent one in the early days of monoclonal antibody therapy, I think is becoming less and less of a problem as time goes on.
Can you give us some examples of antibodies and how they've been used and how they're helping our patients?
Well, in cancer in particular, there's a raft of a number of very interesting antibodies that are now coming on the market and are being widely used. And in each of these cases, these antibodies come directly from basic research that has been conducted in laboratories, not just at Yale, but certainly around the world. Probably one of the most famous ones is an antibody called Erbitux, which is to a particular receptor called EGF receptor. This is a receptor that it turns out to be a critical element in mediating pathways in certain types of cancer, particularly colon cancer. And it turns out that antibodies to this receptor will, in fact, have some considerable therapeutic benefit. Another such antibody is one called Avastin. And rather than targeting cancer cells per se, what an antibody such as Avastin targets is actually the blood vessels that must grow towards a tumor in order to have those tumors get enough blood supply in order to live. So by choking off the blood supply, one chokes off the ability of the tumor to expand. And indeed, Avastin also is now proving to have a clinical benefit in a variety of cancers.
Can these antibodies be used or molecules be used in combination with each other?
Yeah, I think this is something that really now is just starting to be explored and is probably in the end going to be the most effective approach. The antibodies are very powerful agents, but they by themselves probably are not going to do the job for the great majority of patients. But I think by careful and judicious and scientific investigation of just how those antibodies and their effects interact with other forms of therapy, particularly targeted therapies, but also surgery and radiotherapy, will in the end, I think, provide us with the greatest advances in the coming several years.
And in fact, certainly in my own field of colorectal cancer, I think there are already a number of studies to suggest that the combination of Erbitux and Avastin actually has significant clinical activity. And then also in the field of non-small cell lung cancer, there also seems to be increased consideration for combining antibodies. So I think we're going to see more and more of this as time goes on.
Do you foresee the day that we'll be able to help a patient's immune system fight the battle itself? Are there any strategies for accomplishing that?
I think this is the third major area of research at Yale, and one I think that we're particularly strong in. And this is another type of biotherapeutic approach, which you can refer to as immunotherapy. The goal of immunotherapy, in short, is to try to activate a patient's own natural immune system to be able to recognize and target cancer cells, either by making antibodies or making other types of immune so-called effectors that will basically have the same effect as antibodies. And such an effector might be, for example, a T lymphocyte or a T cell, as it's called in the immune system, which also can recognize specific foreign elements and, in the case of cancer cells, kill them quite effectively. So the challenge here is to understand enough about how the human immune system works, how the human immune system interfaces with cancer, which, after all, are foreign objects that exist within an otherwise unperturbed human body, and convince or persuade the immune system to now interpret cancer cells as foreign objects that are, in fact, ripe for targeting and destruction.
And as you suggested, Ira, our group here at Yale and the Yale Cancer Center probably has one of the country and world's leading immunologists and immunobiologists, of which you're one of the senior members. And so the hope is that we're really poised to take advantage of these tremendous discoveries.
I think that's the case. And certainly the basic research in immunology and cancer immunology here at Yale is second to none, both in terms of the number of people and the amount of resources that we've devoted to it, and also the quality of the individuals who are here, who are really rather extraordinary. What I think is most important at this juncture is not so much that the people who are here are so good or there's so many of them, but as a group, so many of us have really now decided to devote ourselves in a way that I think has never really been done before, and I certainly haven't seen in any other university or academic institution, to specifically this issue of the interplay between one's own immune system and the development of cancer. I think there are just too many opportunities. The science itself is also intrinsically compelling. And there are too many therapies and things that can be tried in a fairly short order, even in patients who are coming in to Yale at this point, to really ignore this opportunity. And it's almost as if we have a moral imperative to do that, because we just are so good in immunology. And this is a place where I think we really can have an impact.
A question for you, and I think we're going to take a break in a couple minutes, but many years ago, the goal was to reach the moon by the 1970s, and I know many of the directors of the Cancer Center have said, you know, we're going to find a cure for cancer. Will some of these therapies take us in that direction, and can we hope for a day when we'll really have a lot more in the way of solutions and cure options for patients with cancer?
Well, I think there'll be a great number of additional treatment options, but in terms of using the word cure, although that's something obviously that's all of our goal, I think it particularly when viewing the relationship between the immune system and cancer, we almost have to think of cancer as a chronic disorder, in the same way that you would think of arthritis or inflammatory bowel disease as a chronic disorder. both of which can actually be handled extraordinarily well by using various types of biotherapeutics or immunotherapies. So the object here would be to at least to suppress the growth and the effect of a patient's cancer such that it no longer represents a clinical problem, even if it may mean at this juncture that the patient would have to be treated by one of these immunotherapeutics for the balance of his or her life, which hopefully would be now a very, very long one.
Well, certainly something to be very, very excited about and to look forward to for all of us. Well, we're going to take a break for a minute for a survivor story. Again, we'd like to remind you to email your questions to us at healthline@yale.edu. And please stay tuned to learn more information about cancer research with Dr. Ira Melman from the Yale Cancer Center.
A few years ago, the diagnosis of cancer was a death sentence for many patients. But today, thanks to advances in clinical research, we're turning the corner in the battle against cancer. There are over 10 million cancer survivors now living in the U.S. They are the true heroes in the war against cancer. Here's the story of a hero from Milford.
My mother passed away last September after a recurrence of breast cancer. 3 weeks later, the results of an earlier biopsy came back as cancerous. Can you imagine my horror? My Yale-based gynecologist, Musa Spravanza, referred me to a wonderful surgeon at the Yale Breast Center, Donald Lannan. Dr. Spravanza moved quickly. She gave me the news of the diagnosis on a Thursday, and I had an appointment that Friday with Dr. Lannan. Sensing my distress and anxiety over the diagnosis, coupled with the recent death of my mother, Dr. Lannan also moved quickly to alleviate what fear he could and scheduled me for a lumpectomy that Monday. I was then introduced to my oncologist, Dr. Kenneth Miller, at the Yale Cancer Center, and Dr. Joanne Wheathouse, who would become my radiation oncologist. I am fortunate. Dr. Miller and the wonderful nursing staff at the Yale Cancer Center got me through the entire ordeal, healthy, well, and feeling fabulous.
This survivor's story has been brought to you by Yale Cancer Center.
Well, welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm in the WTIC studios with my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and our guest, Dr. Ira Melman from the Yale Cancer Center. We're reviewing the process of cancer research and discovery.
Ira, we were just talking in the last segment about the phenomenal basic science research that's been ongoing here at the Yale School of Medicine at the Yale Cancer Center for a number of years. And your own research has focused on trying to understand and identify the role and function of dendritic cells as it relates to the immune response. And so perhaps you could explain to the audience, you know, what are dendritic cells, why are they important, and how might we use this knowledge to develop new immunotherapies?
I think this is a really very good example of just how the process works, particularly now how the process works at Yale. Without getting too technical about it, what dendritic cells are, it was a very peculiar cell type that was noted in the late 1980s and was suspected as having a very important activity in terms of initiating our immune responses to any foreign infectious agent or even to cancer cells. They were studied as cells whose functions were not entirely understood. They're very beautiful cells. They do all sorts of interesting things when you grow them in the laboratory. And we knew they were important, but never really knew precisely why until really fairly recently. And there's just been an explosion of interest and opportunity embodied with them. And basically, what dendritic cells do is these are the first cells in the body that detect anything that is wrong, basically. They detect invading infectious agents. They can detect cancer cells. They can detect inflammation. And then they bring that information back from the tissues where they reside. Basically, all of our tissues are filled with dendritic cells. Bring them back to the lymph nodes, where basically they are uniquely responsible for initiating immune responses. So if you think about it from that point of view, you realize, well, gee, if I've just found the cell that's responsible for turning on an immune response, and I want to turn on an immune response to cancer cells, maybe what I should do is focus my attention on trying to persuade the dendritic cells to interpret more effectively cancer cells as being foreign invaders, and as a consequence, learn how it is they normally do it, and transfer that knowledge to the development of immunotherapeutic or biotherapeutic approaches that will indeed enable us to accomplish that goal. So that's pretty much now one of the major focuses, not only in my own laboratory, but more broadly speaking, in the Yale Cancer Center in general. We have groups of clinicians together with laboratory scientists that meet almost on a weekly basis. to discuss exactly what types of therapies, what types of new approaches we would like to see about implementing in the patients who are coming into our clinics every day. Every patient is a chance for scientific discovery, and every patient also represents a new problem that has to be taken, and indeed is taken very, very seriously by a team of clinicians and scientists, which I think is something, again, that's truly unique to Yale. When you come to Yale, it's not that you're only treated by your clinicians, but your clinicians are really very, very meaningfully backed up and discussing your case and cases like it with this fantastic scientific infrastructure that's in the background.
And again, I think as you had pointed out in our last segment, I think one of the real unique features of our cancer center is this interdisciplinary, interprogrammatic, multidisciplinary approach, where we really have, I think, for the very first time, really world-class scientists now being partnered up with world-class clinicians to try to improve care for our patients with cancer.
I think you're absolutely right, Ed. I have not seen that elsewhere. This has always been our dream, but for some reason, this is a dream that seems to be taking hold here. And if, in fact, we can, by our example, show just how effective this approach can be, and indeed, I think we're well on the way to doing it because everyone is just simply committed to the same goal, whether they're a laboratory person who's never worked directly with patients or a clinician who's never worked directly in the laboratory. These types of partnerships, which are just extraordinary and unique to Yale, really are the key to the future and, in fact, to the present.
Ira, what type of research is being done into small molecule therapeutics at Yale? And are there any clinical trials for our patients? And I would ask the same question to Ed as well.
Well, in terms of small molecules, within our Department of Pharmacology and also within the Cancer Center, we have invested heavily in an effort to try and derive and identify potential small molecule therapeutics on our own, leveraging new discoveries that are being made elsewhere at Yale, even in the Department of Chemistry, looking at these agents and seeing whether or not, in fact, they do target effectively individual pathways that other work, both here and elsewhere, has indicated as being specific to individual types of cancers. I don't think that a university such as ours can actually develop drugs, but what we can do is develop interesting lead compounds that we then would partner with the pharmaceutical industry in order to help them complete the process of development.
Before we sign off, Ira, can you review with us two or three key messages that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I think the key message that I would really like to make, or two of them, are as follows. The first is that really just now are we witnessing a fundamental change in terms of how both science and clinicians view cancer therapy. As I mentioned at the outset, for almost 50 years we've been basically doing it the same way. But now we are finally in a position where we can harvest the fantastic fruits of all of the basic research that's been supported by the National Institutes of Health and other organizations for the past 30 years and press all that information into service. We're learning how to do this, and in fact, there are enough examples, Gleevec being one of them that we discussed earlier, of just spectacular successes, which provide an enormous amount of enthusiasm and encouragement to proceed along this route. The second point I want to make is that although you may find places that are larger than Yale, you'll find none in which the partnership between the laboratory and the clinic is more vibrant or more strong. Every case that comes in is a new case, and it's a case that's of interest to scientists and clinicians both.
I'd like to thank Dr. Ira Mellman for joining us on Healthline.
Ira, thanks also for such a terrific discussion, and we look forward to having you in a future broadcast to discuss more of this great science translating to therapies. And remember, tune into WTIC News Talk 1080 every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for Healthline with the Yale Cancer Center. Our next program will focus on cancer survivorship, and our guest expert will be my co-host, Dr. Ken Miller, director of the Connecticut Challenge Survivorship Clinic and director of the Supportive Care Program at the Yale Cancer Center. Until then, this is Dr. Ed Chu
and Dr. Ken Miller
from the Yale Cancer Center wishing you a safe and healthy week.
You've been listening to Healthline, a joint venture of Yale Cancer Center and WTIC News Talk 1080. Join us next Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m. for another edition of Healthline on WTIC News Talk 1080.